Let him keep talking.
If you need to continue your conversation, you can take it to the other side of the ranch house, please. You want to get started on the meeting? Thank you. Okay, so before the meeting starts, I was asked to make a brief announcement. It's fall roundup time. This is going to be posted on the DS. It's all I got! It's fall roundup time. This will be posted on the website. On Facebook. Thank you. It's Wednesday, November 1st, say the day, 5 p.m. at Ranch Headquarters. That would be here. Dinner, live entertainment featuring Robin Arnold, and RSVP on the Facebook page. So just so everybody knows about that. And we are going to go ahead and call this meeting to order at 11:07. John, would you say the prayer for us today? You're good at that. Hi, Shiloh.
Heavenly Father, we're so thankful to be here, this beautiful place, this beautiful ranch. And we're thankful, Father, for all of the membership that's out here and friends and family. We're thankful for all that Thou hast provided for us in this beautiful country and this and all the good people here. We ask, Father, at this time that Thou will, Thy Spirit will be here with us, that we'll have a great meeting, and that we'll have fun, and that we'll be what you would expect us to be. Thankful, Father, for all that we have, and we say this, Father, in the name of Thy Son, Jesus Christ. Amen.
Thanks, John.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, so this meeting is being Zoomed as well, just so everybody knows, and the Zoom, people that are attending on Zoom, your presence will be documented by Danielle. Just want to make sure. And we'd like, there's a lot of people here, some I haven't even met yet, and so I'd like to go around and just state your name and your lot number, if you would. Can we start here with Rick and Nancy?
We're Rick and Nancy Nielsen, lot 154.
Here, Renee Van Arsdale, lot 1959.
You, Beth Collins, 121. Kathy Pierce, 23 and 24.
Betty Pride, Charles Pride, lot 13.
Dustin Zyrus and my parents, lot 236.
John and Linda Reed, lot 18.
Jennifer Scherer, 38 and 39. Tanisha, 493.
Camille and Gary Christensen, 102.
Brad and Tammy Hunt, lot 149.
Chris and Charlie Jordison, lot 67.
Tom LeClaire, 188.
Tom Batson, 214.
Ben Collinwood, 227.
Ash Fishers, 189, Betty and Owen.
Nelson Bay Allen, 162.
Lynette Foster, 193.
Bill Clarkson, 164.
Don Cox, 292.
Mike and Sue McNichols, 270.
Dave Hoff, Rebecca Hoff, 83 and 280.
Larry Rigby, 92.
Bob and Lois Simon, lot 5. Bob Becker, lot 4.
Brad
and
Tanner,
lot 239.
Christina
Leader, 218.
Ryan Castle, Kathy Castle, 130.
Name Hutton, 276. Beller, 22.
Jeff and Joanne Nicholson, 113, and Pepper's here somewhere.
Dan, maybe?
Green, 156. Trip Boomer, 117.
Kevin and Cindy Poole, lot 64.
Marco and Tina Perrotta, 164. I mean 146, sorry.
Dave Ritter, 129.
Jerry Rachel Glover, lot 12.
Stand up, Jerry Glover.
I'm sorry.
He's on the ladder already.
Bruce and Nancy McQueen, lot 101.
Jackie Grant and Matt Wigg, not here, lot 80.
Just Mark, 245.
Got everybody so far? And you, ma'am, in the reddish shirt, standing in the back.
One more, Phil Osborne, lot 210.
Okay. Thank you. Go ahead. Yeah. And they are doing an amazing job. Scott, I'm training these two, taking them around all the cabins. And Scott's, oh, we got to do that. Oh, I saw, and he's checking every doorknob. They're fantastic. So thank you very much, you guys. Love you being here. Okay, so Scott, actually we're going to take a roll call of the board, make sure we have a quorum.
Hey, Bart. Bart Batista, lot 94. Larry.
Larry Clarkson, 76.
John.
John Harris, 163.
Michael Jordison, 67.
Cindy Olson, 17.
Scott Kohler, lot 15. Okay, we have a quorum.
We have a quorum. Awesome.
Hey,
Shannon. Yeah. Okay. We've gotten to be friends.
Yeah.
Would you do the meeting minutes, please?
Okay, there's two different. We're going to approve the meetings to last month's August meeting. I sent out the meeting to the board, and I got a response back from Cindy. Anybody else?
I had no corrections.
No corrections in that. So I make a motion that we approve the meetings as sent out. Do we have a second?
I'll second.
Larry, second that. Any? I'll approve.
Aye.
Aye.
Also, this is her vote for all of you. Also, so last year's annual meeting minutes were sent out, and there's only one correction, and we didn't get the right lot number down for John and Sunshine. So we're going to fit that down right. But other than that, I make the motion that we approve last year's meeting as with this one correction. Is that any, do we have a second?
How long is it? Is it appropriate to read through that for those that didn't get it, or?
It was put on the.
It was sent out.
It was sent out on the website.
Has everybody had an opportunity to see that?
It is also on the DSR website. If you need to go back and read it.
But we could read it. It might take a while.
We usually do, just as a review, but I mean, I'm all about saving time. But
does anybody out in the audience who has read it have any objections, or is everything okay other than putting John's?
Yes.
All right.
I'll second it.
Okay. Kathy seconded it. All in favor?
Aye.
And how many here would like us to read through it? All right. We will move on.
Emphatic no back there.
Thank you. It's unanimous vote.
Great. All right. So we're going to move on to introduction of the candidates. And I'm going to call out the name of the candidates that's currently up for election. Would you please stand? And you've got 2-3 minutes to just say anything you want to say to the group, the membership. So we'll start. I'll just do it in the order of the voting. Larry?
So I'm Larry Clarkson. I've been involved with Grants since its birth, not since my birth, but close.
You're older than that.
Just a little bit. I've served on the board multiple different times and for multiple different years. Been in different roles as secretary and as president and as vice president, and my main area of responsibility for years has been wildlife. I spend 75% of my life and time here at the ranch.
99.
I have to listen to her at home. I don't have to listen to her out here. Other than when I escape to Mexico or Alaska, I'm usually out here somewhere.
Take your glasses off so you can see your shifty eyes.
I need to get my, I have to change between light ones and dark ones and I get blinded. I'm not an expert in anything, but I'm pretty handy in most everything. I really don't have anything else to add, or do we take questions?
I don't know that. Just. Yeah. This is just kind of a reminder of who each person is for those that haven't yet voted, and for those that have voted, they are potentially your next board. So.
My fancy attire is provided by Tennille Bose. And my niece calls me Highlighter Man.
You never know who's coming. I mean, you never have to guess who's coming at you. All right, Dale? Dale Clarkson.
I loved the conversation the last month. This series was created by our father in heaven. And Deer Springs, I think, was an inspired program that all of you enjoy. I'm delighted that you're here. Deer Springs had one developer. Utah Properties, that did the planning, the construction, development, marketing, finance, management of everything that happened up here. So all 300 units that you own was marketed by these people. We've changed the name of that company to Deer Springs Ranch LLC to continue doing the same things that has been done over the last 40, 50 years. My purpose in becoming a candidate was not really to get on the board. I felt we needed a way of communicating with everybody that improvements at the ranch are needed. If you don't check the bathrooms, any other thing, I'm embarrassed with the condition of our ranch at the present time. It costs money to make the improvements that you and I want. The ranch has several $1 million of unencumbered assets. I've tried to communicate that to all of you, that the ranch has the assets, the need is here, and a plan for the planning, construction, development, marketing, and management for the future. That's the American way of doing things, is to use your assets and make the area for you and your family better. That's my commitment, that we should be doing that here. I love Deer Springs and have tried to do my part. Thank you.
Thank you, Dale. Tina?
Hello. I'm here. My husband Jeff and I have been looking for land for over 20 years. He's always wanted to live in the boonies. And we came here one weekend, long weekend, and I said, I like it here. And as soon as we got home, he was making an offer on our lot, and we moved here shortly thereafter, and we love it here. We're never leaving if we can help it. This is our life. My motto is, if it doesn't happen on the ranch, it doesn't matter. I don't know anything that's happening in the world, real world anymore, because I'm here, and I'm here to stay. Everything here is important to me, him, and we're here to help anybody and to do anything we can. So, and we're almost always home. So if anybody needs anything, just give us a call on the radio and we'll be there. I hope I can answer that.
Thank you, Tina. Don Cox.
My name is Don Cox, as you heard. And anyway, and I really appreciate what Dale said. So if you guys get a chance to look at this, there was a lot of hardships to make this possible. And I'm grateful that Dale was a visionary man. You see these things, but there's also a master plan in here, too. I look at the financial reports as being a businessman, and just in the last 2 years, we're going down. And I think Dale had enough foresight to see if that happened, that there's things that we can do that we're all going to benefit from it. And so I like his plan, if you guys will take the time to do it. I know there's been a lot of negative stuff put out, which is ridiculous. This is a family operation, okay? And you got to get along. Everybody needs to get along. And sure, we're not always going to see eye to eye on everything. But there's a lot of good common sense here, and I would support this. We've got 57 grandkids. Our older kids, they come up here. They rent some of the rooms up at the upper cabin and that. And this is a fun time. The kids love it. And I'd like to see us get back, but it's going to take money. I'd like to see when we used to have the horse rides. There's a lot of things that we can do to make this a lot better for our families and memories and everything else. And so if I'm on the board, I'm going to try to look on the business part of it and give my professionalism. I've been self-employed for 50 years. I've been successful in a few businesses that I still have, and I'm running in that. And I'm a hands-on guy that, you know, when something comes up and there's a problem, I'm a fix-it man, okay? I can take care of it. So I'd appreciate your vote.
John? Brent Fulmer. Can you come up here? Because you're so far back, and that way you can project out that way, and we can still pick it up.
All right. My name is Brent Fulmer. I was going to make a bunch of empty promises to you, like two side-by-sides in every container and a job for every person who wants it. But that'd all be a lie, and you already know it. I've been here. I'm 27,050 days old today. Out of those, and I've been at Deer Springs Ranch full-time over 7,500 days. And out of those 7,500 days, I've probably worked 6,000 days for free. My goal is to get every member to spend one day working on the ranch, for the ranch, and find out about what everything that's here. And so anyway, you're not going to get your side-by-sides, you're not going to get your containers, and but you can get a non-paying job for one day.
Jobs for everybody!
Okay. Jerry Glover, I think you're... Yeah, can you come on up, too?
I'm not here. I'm standing tall. Whoever says that. Yeah, Mr. Hunt. Jerry Glover, lot 12. My wife and I bought lot 12 from Grand Ranch Drive 3 years ago. My wife's from Payson, Utah. I grew up in Porterville, just south of it. My father hails from Kanab. My mother hails from Town, Porterville. So only been out here for 3 years, but I... grew up out here. My grandfather, or sorry, great grandfather, settled Alton. My grandfather helped out with the Johnson family out at White Pockets, out at Cattle Ranch, for a lot of years. Spent a lot of time up at Jacob Lake as a kid and out here on a horse. I've never been embarrassed to this place since I was a little baby. I came out here ever since my other family owned the land south to us. So I think it's an incredible piece of land that we'd have been given to. I'm grateful for the stewards of this land, including myself, and I hope that we can continue as a family, like Dale said, to beautify it and protect it. And I'll do my best to be implicated in any part of that that you guys feel necessary to use my skills, whatever I have, and my wife also, and my whole entire family. So I'm proud to be here, and thank you very much. And I have my baby here today, so I'll be back here mostly. So if you have any questions, come on, come and talk to me.
Thank you. Thanks, Jerry. And his baby is this adorable little cutie pie that Karen is holding. All right, Jackie Grant. Come on up, Jackie.
On these rocks, probably I'm built to fall in. Who's standing these rocks? I see a problem. Jackie Grant, Law 80. I live over in Cedar City where I'm a professor, so you know that I'm troubled. I do a lot of work with the federal agencies, the Forest Service, National Park Service, and the Bureau of Land Management, so I know how their system works, and I know that there are big changes coming to the Grand Staircase at Esplanade National Monument, which is just all that right down there, right? And I was pleased to be able to invite Kevin Ballard onto the Grand Staircase Esplanade National Monument Advisory Committee that I belong to. So he and I will now be both members of that committee going forward and help represent the ranch views on it. Maybe help access the ranch to get funds from the federal government if that is something that ranch members are interested in. My last name is Grant. I like to write grants. As of this year, I've written $5 million worth of funded grants from all different types of agencies, not just the government, nonprofits, and state governments as well. So I'd really love to bring those talents to the ranch, even if I'm not elected to the board. So thank you very much. I'm Law 80, and I've been here for 2 years with my husband.
Thank you, Jackie. Cade? There you are. Cade Hoff.
Cade Hoff. I said enough on Facebook and then other places, so I'm not going to talk too long. Just love being out here, getting to know all of you guys, and appreciate your vote. Have a great one.
All right, I'm Cindy Olson, and you hear enough from me every month. I'm running again. This has been a fabulous. I'm just astounded by the amount of work that has been put in by these board members and the things they've been taking on. And I would love to be able to continue to support them. Michael's been just a rock star on our treasury, getting things moving, and he will continue to be a rock star on the website moving forward. In case I'm not reelected, I gotta get my little shots in. And Bart has been doing a fantastic job on our water rights and keeping us on the right side of regulations. Thank you, Bart. So that's it. Lot 17. Thank you. And last but certainly not least, Kevin Poole. Can you come up here so the microphone can pick you up?
I'm Kevin Poole, Lot 64. I originally grew up on the Texas Gulf Coast. I don't know if you ever heard of a little town called Kema, Texas. Nobody? Okay. Well, Kema, Texas has a channel runs right down the middle of it that separates Kema, Texas from Seabrook, Texas. And there used to be two lines of shrimp boats down both sides of that channel. And all the fish houses and stuff were on that channel. And then you could go down there and eat dollar a dozen oysters in all the R months. What Kema, Texas is today, because of development, there are zero family-owned fish and shrimp businesses left in Kema, Texas today. There is now a giant boardwalk with roller coasters and Ferris wheels and boat rides and parasails and all of that. So we left that area, being priced out of our home, to move to Central Texas, a little bitty town called Kingsland, Texas. Probably no one's ever heard of that one either. Yeah. Well, Kingsland, Texas, sat right on Lake LBJ. Beautiful little place. When we moved there in 1994, you could buy a waterfront house for $56,000. It's now $50,000 a linear foot. Why? Because of all the wonderful development that hit Kingsland, Texas. So we moved to Laverkan, Utah. And in 2 years in Laverkan, Utah, I used to be able to walk across the street. Now it's a 20-minute wait for all the traffic to go by. Had enough of that one. Same thing again. The price of real estate blew up. The house that I lived in was $225,000 when I moved into it. It was offered to me a year and a half, 2 years later at almost $400,000, and I declined. Once again, all that wonderful development. So I bought out here, and I bought on Lot 64 because it has the most fantastic view, in my opinion, of anywhere on this ranch. I have a 360-degree view of everything. I can see all of the wet meadow. I can see everything except for the backside of the gravel pit. You know what I don't want to look at? I don't want to look at 100 new lots. I don't want to look at 100 new RVs and 100 new trailers and 100 new containers. And I don't want to look at another 100 miles of roads. And I don't want to look at the driveways. And I don't want to look at all that development, because what I bought was peace, serenity, and raw, untouched natural beauty. And that is the absolute greatest asset of Deer Springs Ranch, is the fact that it has not been spoiled and ruined. I intend to protect that with every ounce of my body. Thank you very much.
What they all say about you, I voted for you.
Okay. And that, my friends and fellow members, are your candidates.
I really can.
Okay. So I need to send out right now a call for the final ballots, final ballot collection. And I am now hereby dismissing the ballot counting committee to commence. If you need to get a ballot in, yep.
Get the food out of the kitchen.
We got to get the food out of the cabin.
Okay. Let them know.
Not that yet.
You turn mine in, right?
I saw.
You want to hear everybody on our ballot.
I've locked myself in on
the
No problem, do you? Hey, Brad, you need help filling that out?
No, yes, you got it. Was it yes?
How's it going?
Yeah, how are you?
Day before, I really didn't. I was moving equipment, getting it all into place.
That's a big job.
I spent more time getting there and knocking down a few trees and cleaning a few rocks.
That thing was very fast, does it? And it talks to you when it's running.
Yeah.
All those metal tracks.
And then yesterday I ended up working up this light canyon. I'm going around here. I just got to try to get a couple of septic systems finished off and everything. Away after everything.
Or what we all did for years and years.
Yes. Okay. While we're waiting for them to count in these, are we going to do any reporting or areas of representation? There's been some questions raised, and I didn't respond to them on Facebook because I thought it'd be better to talk to all the people who are on the recording as far as the deer tag, management, the money, and the
questions. So you've got the review of the year coming up. Feel free to say anything you want to say about the position of the past year, even what's coming in. It's supposed to be about the past year, but that's kind of a few past, isn't it?
If you're coming out, you want to know something, how are the roads? But you can get five answers. So it's a great tool. And what it really does, what I love the most, is to get every single one of you guys your own voice. You know, everybody deserves their own opinion out here.
Now,
before, you can, if you had an opinion, you couldn't tell anybody. So really strong.
Mr. Hunt.
I do what he does. You know it, so.
Tell me, vote for him.
Brad, she's already taken it. You got to stop her.
We'll run.
Hurry up, Anthony. All right. Is that it? I think that's it. Okay, so we're going to go ahead and continue the meeting. When everybody's ready, we're going to continue the meeting. This is going to be a review of the year by board members. It's just a chance for us to talk about what's been happening in each of our areas. And let's try to keep it mostly to what has happened in the past. And you could do a little bit of, you know, going forward as well. So let's start. Michael, are you ready to?
Sure, I'll start.
Real quick, ballots have been entered and closed, so thank you for your vote.
Thank you, Daniel. Okay, we're going to continue with the meeting now. All right, Michael.
Came into this.
And there's one more. He's got to get his out of the car.
Nope.
Done?
Closed.
All right, Michael deserves your attention and respect, please.
All right.
Go ahead.
I'd rather not speak anyway, but that's all right.
Then speak quietly.
Came into this totally not knowing what I was getting into. Way more work than I expected it to be. that's all right. It's been fun. You know, we had some misses on the budget, and we've had some successes on the budget. Everybody got to see it, and it looks horrible at the bottom. When everything's tallied, it says we're operating on a negative 2,600 currently, which on paper is correct, but it's not true. 32,000 of that was set aside in prior year to do the cabins, 9 and 10, I believe, this year. So we are still operating in the positive and expect to for the rest of the year. Cabin rentals since 2 months ago have gone up a little bit, and that's helped the bottom line and getting us closer to our budgeted amount. The other part of my responsibility was website. Firefly was rolled out. I haven't heard too much negative on it. I think it's gone well, which leads me into the future piece that I'll be real brief on. Over the next couple of months, I'm going to try and get some behind the scenes done on the current website with some help and get that up and running. And as soon as we can get that done, we'll get it switched over. That's about all I have.
Thank you.
Okay, rather than do just a year in review real quick, I'm going to do like a 30-year in review.
My area of responsibility has been the wildlife, mainly mule deer. The Ponsonant Unit, which Deer Springs Ranch is the center heart of a 50-mile square, which is the Ponsonant Hunting Unit. If you're not a hunter, it doesn't mean anything. In the world of mule deer hunting, there are 10 hot spots in the world. Some are in Mexico. Two or three are right around us here in southern Utah and northern Arizona. The Arizona Strip, a couple of units there, the Ponsonant, and the Henry Mountains are the top of the world. I'm trying to remember, in the 80s, this unit was completely shut down. No hunting allowed at all for a number of years. Supposed to have been 2 years. It was extended to 3 and then 4 years. Then it was opened up in a draw system. Very exclusive and hard to get a tag to hunt mule deer here. Very desirous. I don't know what the right words are to use. Deer Springs Ranch, because of its land holding, the acreage we had, we were given landowner commits. There's been some posting and some questions back and forth on the Facebook page and other places. I've been in Alaska and could have possibly replied, but I chose not to just because I wanted to address everybody together and where it will be recorded instead of trying to educate everybody one-on-one and bring you up to speed. The state issues landowner tags to properties that house deer and suffer potential losses of crops or grazing. That's always been on a 3-year or a 5-year cycle. Deer Springs Ranch, which at the time wasn't even the owner's association, but it is now what is now Deer Springs Ranch Owners Association, received as many as 7 tags for a 5-year draw cycle. So some people are like, well, 7 tags, that's a lot of tags. Well, we only averaged 1 a year, 7 over 5 years. So 1 year we'd get 2, and then 1, and 1, and 1, and then 2. So anyway, that was back in the days when those tags sold anywhere from $1,000 to $2,500. I took over it and raised those up to about $5,000 per tag. At that time, they organized the Ponsonant Landowners Association, Wildlife Association, which Deer Springs Ranch, all of us as DSROA, are one member of the PLWA, Ponsonant Landowners Wildlife Association. That group is issued a number of tags. It was 25 tags. Now it's cut down. Currently, it's 18. This is the last year of that program. Next year begins a whole new program, and we're going to be cut down to 8 tags at best, and it depends on how many of the Ponsonant Landowners Wildlife Association members remain in the program. Some are bailing out because they've added new rules that make it such that some people don't want to deal with the system. It's not worth it. Currently, there's 65 members of that Landowners Association. Deer Springs is one of 65. It does generate a pile of money. Last year, it was $800,000 for deer tags. Deer Springs receives $15,000 because we are one of 65, and we are one of the smaller members of that association. We have acreage. There's 2 criteria that enter into how mule deer tags are allocated. Mechanically harvested irrigated cropland is one multiplier. 640 acres of open rangeland is one multiplier. Deer Springs Ranch puts in roughly 2,000 acres of open rangeland. So you can do the math, if you can do math, which I can't, so I'm not even going to try. But that gives you an idea of what we contribute. Our 640 acres equals what one of the hay fields down in Lower Johnson Canyon or in Alton or around. Alton has their own unit, but similar properties in Glendale or other areas of the Ponsonant. So it is a financial benefit to the ranch because, in reality, we do absolutely nothing for it. It funds many of the other things that you guys enjoy here on the ranch. Wildlife is probably the only area of the ranch that has always been profitable. 2 meetings ago, Ben brought up the question about fishing and saying, I'm not a fisherman. I don't like paying for the fish. None of you all have ever paid for any fish. Not a dime of your assessment has ever paid for any fish. Fish has always been paid for out of the wildlife budget, with the exception of 1 year in COVID when the... The crazy president of the board at the time some goofball named Barry Clarkson agreed and followed the advice of other logical thinking members that, hey, we don't know what's going to happen with COVID. We don't know if people are going to lose their jobs. It's a curse to be Danielle's father. But anyway, because of COVID and not knowing what was going to happen financially, the board chose to basically freeze our budgets such that only necessary spending was going to go on that year. And so we didn't buy fish. So with the exception of that year, fish has always been purchased from wildlife funds generated from turkey hunts, bear hunts, deer hunts, elk hunts, the bulk being the Mule Deer Wildlife Ponsonant Landowners Association funding. That year, Dale, my father, bought the fish because he thought, whether it's COVID or not, we should have fish at the ranch. So, right now, like I said, our tags are going to be cut from 18, shared among 65 members, down to 8. The ridiculous world of mule deer hunters, they don't care if there's 100 tags, 18 tags, 8 tags. They want to hunt those deer, and they're willing to pay ridiculous amounts of money. So as a member of the Ponsonant membership, our philosophy is we're still going to charge the same amount. The landowner tags have been sold at the Sportsman Fishing Wildlife banquets during the past few years. This last year, they got a little snotty, and they were taking a pretty big chunk of the pie. And so we went ahead and sold them through an auction and raised the same amount of money, basically $800,000, and didn't have to pay Sportsman for Fish and Wildlife their 15% fee. That's a pretty significant amount of money. Mm-hmm. So going forward, the plan will be that the Ponsonant Landowners Association will still sell those tags. We haven't determined exactly how, because at this point we don't know how many tags we'll get. The goal is to go ahead and sell them at the same price so that the participating members, which is DSROA, us as one participating member, we're hopeful that we will retain the same amount of income. That is yet to be seen. Could go any way. That's saying my time is up. Shut up and sit down. That's not what it said. Anyway, I don't know if there's any quick questions I can answer on wildlife, on fish, on deer, on turkeys, on bears, on...
So we have the 2,000 acres that is DSR property, but we also have, what, a 20-something thousand lease from BLM we can't use?
You can't use any BLM ground. And, see, originally, the acreage here, there's 8,000 acres of private ground, which back in the early days, because it was basically owned by my dad, he could put in the entire block along with other properties we held over near Hatch, other ranches. As that became part of a subdivided subdivision plotted lots, those properties are not allowed to participate in the landowner tag program. And individual lots are too small. You can't join as a member there. So our 2,000 acres is all that we can offer. We've talked some about saying, okay, let's take an area and go ahead and raise 20, 40, 60, 80 acres of crop. Why would we do that? Well, it's kind of a money loss to money gain type situation. If it helps us prove up on hundreds of thousands of dollars worth of water, and in the meantime, we can go crop to feed to longhorns or goats or whatever, and we can qualify for additional multipliers in the landowners association for deer tags. That's something to look into. It's like everything else. You've got to research it, figure it out, find out what's it going to cost, how much are you going to gain, what's the net result at the very end, is it worth the hassle? Any other questions, concerns?
If you harvest it and reseed with it, does that count as a harvested crop?
It has to be. It has to be. I think there are two words in there that really trip everybody up. I know it's mechanically harvested, and I think it has to be like mechanically irrigated, like a sprinkler system. It can't be just ditch flood irrigated, because other people are like, hey, I can just turn water out here and qualify. But the mechanically harvested, if it was.
How many acres would really make a difference?
40. 40 acres equals 640 acres of grazing, open range land.
So 20 exactly half of that? Yeah. So even 20 acres would be a substantial increase.
Hey, Bill. So, or Larry.
That's my middle name. I've been called all kinds of things.
So, what other funds are coming into the wildlife funds? You mentioned other hunts.
So, we did have there was also a Ponsagant elk unit, and myself, I put Deer Springs in with three other property owners in the area. This last year, that got canceled because they opened the unit up to wide open elk, the brilliance of the Utah State Management Program. So I think Deer Springs made like $4,000 off the elk over a 2 or 3 year period. So it was not insignificant, but not a huge number. We've made money. There are 2 or 3 different bear outfitters that contact me occasionally to want to come in and have clients that hunt bear. They pay a trespass fee. There are turkey hunters. Not a lot, but every once in a while. We did have a deer hunter, archery hunter last month that harvested a nice buck up in the near the meadow area, paid a $500 trespass fee. Because we participate in this program, I'm obligated to allow the hunters in. I can't, we cannot lock everybody out. We can lock the general population out, but, and this is one reason that people are pulling out of the association. In the past, they would say, okay, it's not a clear science, but on the average, Deer Springs qualified for one tag, so we're going to require you, Deer Springs Ranch, to allow one landowner, whoever purchases that landowner permit, and one general draw tag. So two people, if they contacted me, I could not turn them away. And I could not charge them access to the ranch. We're already being paid for that. I could control when, where, give them some guidance, but I couldn't do anything more than that. The new rule is, if there are 8 tags issued, those 8 people and an equal number, so a 16 people total, 16 hunters, have access to every private property that it participates in the Landowners Association. And some of the ranches are saying, nah, I don't like that. I'm not going for that. It's not worth it. I haven't seen it become a problem because they still have to contact us and we can control. Hunters aren't stupid. They're not going to want to stack on top of each other. It's not like, I don't know if anybody's gone to Alaska to fish. Where I fish in 50 seasons, 25 years of early and late seasons, I've seen a total of 6 people. Now, if you go to Alaska on any of the other big rivers, you're like standing shoulder to shoulder with people fishing. I don't want to fish that way. That's why I go where I go. That's why I run an operation where I run it. I don't want to hunt that way. I quit hunting on our property over in Boulder, Utah, the morning that I woke up, and as soon as it got light, I could count 50 dots of orange. And I said, no thanks. So hunters don't want to come out here and hunt if there's 16 other people hunting or sitting on the side of the road. Anybody that's driven out here during the hunt, the Timber Mountain turnoff will be lined with ATVs and trucks sitting there all waiting for a deer to jump in the back of their truck. That's what hunting's become. Anyway, any other questions? I've probably used up way too much time.
So what areas are we required to let them access? So it's not our private property.
No, none of the private lots, just the common area. The problem with the way the ranch is cut up and why there have been many different comments, people are like, hey, you're not supposed to be here, only to realize the people that they're stopping and harassing are actually on BLM. A lot of our ranch is so cut up. I've talked to a lot of members that don't know what is Deer Springs Ranch versus what is BLM. And if you look at the map, even half the time people looking at the map still don't know, well, where am I on the map? And if you follow a program like Onyx, it's great, but it's not accurate. It's a general guide. It gets you pretty close. But people that are trying to use that as their property line boundary, they're not accurate.
In 50 feet.
Do the hunters know in general where they are?
Yes. That's the only good thing about they have to contact me in the past. Then I relay it to Kurt or whoever else is out here and make sure that they know. And we go, you know, they're not just free to roam anywhere they go.
Well, I understand you right, that they can hunt on association land, but not on private lots.
Correct.
And on BLM.
Yes.
Can I jump on that real quickly?
Yep.
Hey, just on that note, I'm the land facility manager over at Best Friends. We have around 6,000 acres over there, and so we kind of deal with this all the time. It's a hunter's responsibility to know where they're at when they hunt. But they can't be charged for trespass if you don't have no trespassing signs posted. So you can have you if you don't have any if you have no if you don't have no trespassing signs on your private parcel and they stumble on your property, you can say get off, but you couldn't charge them with trespass or it wouldn't be charged by the sheriff's office.
In the past, in order for me to keep anybody from accidentally hunting on Deer Springs, I had to go to the corner of every parcel of Deer Springs, mark the corner, and mark every 300 feet around the perimeter. Now, imagine that it would take you a month on horseback to even cover that plot. I did it for 3 years on a fat cat, a little Honda, is actually a Yamaha big wheel. And painted and marked and put up signs. And after that, I said, this, I don't make a dime doing this.
Can you help me find some of my corners?
Yeah. Anyway, it's a lot of times we go through a lot of hassle trying to anticipate a problem that never materializes. If that makes any sense. Yeah. Usually, if there's a problem, it can be resolved easily and simply by telling somebody, look, I don't know if you're lost or if you're here intentionally, but you're not where you're supposed to be and you need to leave. If anybody has issues, it's easy to say, look, I'm going to contact the sheriff. We're not supposed to be the rangers. We're not supposed to be the law. We can inform people you're not where you're supposed to be and I'm asking you to leave. But other than that, I think the wildlife stuff has been good for Deer Springs. I'm hoping that it'll still be a financial gain, but there's, you know, that's still up in the air. I was telling somebody, I don't remember who I was talking to, but I spent probably 10 to 15 hours while I was in Alaska going through and setting up and getting us prepared for the new program that starts in 2024. And then I had to redo it two or three nights ago, all online. And then just last night, when I got home from the ranch, in the mail, I had the paper application that was supposed to be turned in August 20th. I think it's a little past August 20th, but I had already done it online. But it's like, okay, sometimes our systems don't work the way they're supposed to anyway. Tina?
Yeah, I was just going to say,
Does the ranch itself get a deer tag?
No. No. So I run into people all over the world, literally, and they're like, oh, well, you're so lucky because you live out there and you have property. You probably get to hunt all the time. I've never hunted the Ponsonagas. I had an opportunity one year because we had sold tags to an outfitter out of New Mexico, USO, George Tolman. He bought a seven-year tag cycle, and he had sold them to hunters, and he had somebody back out. And he actually hired me to guide one of the guys, but the other tag was not filled. So I bought it back from him with the intention of, at the time, the tags were being sold for $2,500, and he had paid half, $1,250. And I thought, this is the cheapest I'm ever going to be able to hunt out here. So I bought it back with the intention of hunting it myself. And then I ended up taking it to California to an auction and donated it to their Field Deer Foundation, and they auctioned it off, and then I guided the guy up here. So it... I at least got my $1,250 bucks back. What's that?
I got one question, but did I hear you say they think that aren't they got elk units at Open Bull?
Yeah.
Yes. This year.
Yeah. You're too late. They're gone. Open Bull.
Yeah.
Thank
you.
Cow.
Well, that's not true because we have two seasons.
Anybody need guiding?
Right, Larry. Don't have. The two seasons, they have the early ones.
They do. The other thing I wanted to point out, just because of that question. So, in the past, we have restricted hunting to those that get tags and contact, but we've always given preferential treatment or preference to, if there's a member who draws a tag, obviously we would like to see us be able to hunt our property instead of somebody from Los Angeles or Texas or wherever. Right now, there are some members who have elk permits. One individual has a cow permit and is intending to hunt. The cow elk hunt runs from August 1st through January 30th, so basically till February 1st, I believe. So members obviously don't have to pay, but they do have to have a tag. Somebody else asked me, well, if there's deer on my lot, can I... shoot him? No. You get in big trouble.
Yeah, but Larry, I think there's going to be a more of an influx this year because they had a limited number of tags for what they call an early hunt, was like 4 days or 5 days. And then after that, it's an unlimited amount of any bull hunts permits.
They're, unfortunately, their intention, for good or for bad, is to annihilate the elk on the Ponsonagas deer unit because it's a deer. It's a premium limited entry deer unit. It's a little crazy because if anybody knows anything about animals, elk and deer do not eat the same thing. They don't habitate the same place. They're apples and oranges. Again, that's another reason why I kind of, in my mind, I wear different hats. I represent Deer Springs. I represent the Ponsonagas Landowners Association. I am a hunter. I'm an outdoorsman. I'm a conservationist. I look at all these things from different perspectives. Deer, they're giving landowners compensation, depredation because of lost crop. Cows and deer don't eat the same thing. The only damage that deer do to cows is when they sleep in the cow's feed and mass all the alfalfa down. But out on the open range, actually longhorns are a little bit more like deer than other cattle. They do browse a little bit, but cattle are grazers, deer are browsers. It's eating lettuce and trees. Anyway.
On that. Hey, just so everybody knows, I am a non-consumptive rep on the Southern Regional Advisory Council for the Wildlife Board.
The RAC.
The RAC. So if there's anything that goes forward or any rule that's being proposed, you can always reach out to me because I actually sit at that board and I can talk to people and I vote on what's recommended from this region. I vote on what's to be recommended to the wildlife board. And as Larry did say, it's very interesting. Really, it seems the wildlife board and the division of the DWR is real, not DWR division. I always mess it up. Yeah, the DWR.
Yeah, DWR.
DWR is really interested in quantity of tags over quality of hunt. And they just want a lot of money. And so it's rather frustrating. You want to see better science. You want to see them recognize that things browse differently. They don't eat the same thing. But it's really just... But anyways, I am a voice there. If anybody has sees something that they want, that they have concerns, bring it to me. I can at least vote on it for the recommendation.
Any other questions, though?
Larry, I got one real quick. What's our number one risk of losing that asset moving forward? Since it is a huge, I mean, not a huge.
It is totally controlled by the state,
yeah.
And whether they change or do away with it.
See any options moving forward that we can maybe get out of that and do our own thing, or are we bound by state law to be a part of it?
No, we can withdraw if we choose to withdraw. And there are a couple of other options of ways that we could replace that income by doing some, you know, we could create a specialty hunt of some kind or something.
There are options.
What's that?
We haven't had acreage to go to CWM yet.
No, there was a time when we could have joined with the Brinkerhoffs to the west and forgot the name of the attorneys that had the head of up above Mill Creek. And it would have been continuous all the way across clear to Alton. We could have been part of the Alton CWMU, but yeah. There was a block of land that didn't want to join that cut us off. It has to be contiguous land. The program we're part of right now is not a bad program. So I think we just kind of...
I think we make more money as part of the program than we would if we tried to sell entry. Right?
Yeah, yes.
Yeah.
Yeah. That's what I mean, there are some great deer that habitate that live in the Deer Springs area, but just a quick... The Paunsagunt deer herd is about 85% migratory and 20 to 15% resident, meaning whether it's a horrible winter or a totally open winter, whether it's a horrible summer or totally rainy summer, that deer herd moves late April, early May. It moves north above the Pink Cliffs, and in October it moves south. That 85%, regardless of whatever else is going on. The other 15% does migrate, but not 50 miles. It migrates 15 miles. So those deer will be in the Deer Springs area until absolutely forced out by snow. Do we get snow deep enough at Deer Springs to force them out? Every once in a while. Last year, yes. Other years, no. So those non-migratory animals stayed close. If they're forced out, they end up down here in the low sagebrush, but they're not going clear to the air, you know, clear across the highway and into Arizona like the rest of the migratory herd.
Hey, Larry, the wildlife is a small part of what we need to talk about today. So I think we should close this. Any other questions, then come get with you later.
Sounds good to me.
Thanks, Larry.
Really?
Have questions for Larry, because as long as you're interested, this is what we want to hear.
I would like to ask, because I'm concerned about water. And
does that have to do with what Larry's? The wildlife?
I'm addressing Larry's comment about doing 40 acres of alfalfa.
Okay.
That would also prove up on 160 acres of water.
Yeah.
And my question is, would we have to do that every year, I mean, to harvest, or could it be once every 7 years to prove up on that water?
The qualification for the deer, it has to be every – if you don't harvest it that year, then you don't get to participate. Some of the farmers down low that rotate and they may lay a field fallow for one season, that takes them out of the pool for those seasons.
All right, any other questions for Larry?
Tina had a question, but now she forgot it.
No, I asked it. If we got our own tag.
Oh, okay.
All right. Thank you, Larry.
I'm not arguing.
I got the floor.
You got the floor. Or the ground.
Yeah, let's see if I can stand up. Well, as many of you know, I haven't been around much this summer, and I think most of you know why, because of my wife having her problem with her aneurysm. First, before I say anything about my good degree, so many of you people have prayed for her and back to school. I've got hundreds and hundreds of communication from all of you people and many others, and I'd like to first thank you all. She's doing great right now. She'll be here about 11:30, and she survived something she wasn't supposed to survive, but she did because of prayers and her Heavenly Father. Thanks again. Now, as far as the roads have been my stewardship, and of course I haven't been around, as I said, you know why, but I've noticed that Larry, Kurt, and Brenton, and many others here have done a lot of work. I've seen a lot of work that's been done, and they've done a good job. We've had some work, of course, that they've done that needs to be redone now, because it only took a little while for it to get destroyed from a rain. That happens a lot out here, and that's one of our problems. But you know what? It's not that bad a problem. We have a wonderful place out here, and living in the back country off the grid is not easy, but it's worth it. And I chose not to run this year. I've been on the board about 13 years in two different stints. I thank everybody that has supported me all this time. But I chose not to this year, getting too old and cranky. And with my age, I repeat a lot my stories. I'm real good at remembering how good I used to be. So anyway, that's really all I have to say, and I thank you guys for taking care of things while I was gone. Thank you very much.
I'd just like to take a moment to thank John for all of his years of service and for being such a wonderful and beloved member of the ranch. And since you are leaving the board, I just want to give you a hand to say, gosh, thank you for everything. Art, I'm going to skip over to you. I can be Scott if you want.
So I was director of membership for a hot minute, and then that went to Cindy. But I primarily focused on water issues. So if you haven't read it, I recommend that you do. We hired a third party to do an assessment of our water rights. And I think they've essentially identified a lot of things that people have been saying, but people didn't, you know, because there's a lot of history around the ranch, a lot of people weren't trusted what other people were saying, or we had three different stories, five different stories. And so we got a third-party consultant. They gave us kind of a definitive assessment that said your water rights are at risk. Right? We've got around a lot of water rights that we applied for back in the day for separate water systems. Because we never did anything years ago to proof up on to develop those systems, we can never get that water back, because our watershed, our basin, has changed what they'll allow us to appropriate. So we can only appropriate water for individual lots. So all of you know that you can apply for up to 1.73 acre feet for your own well. Well, because back in the day when we applied for it, each one of those systems was around 80 acre feet of water. We didn't take care of it. So now we can't get that back, because that's closed to us now forever. We have another 800 acre feet of water that we have in different types of use, either for irrigation, for culinary, that we're not using right now. We've used, we report, and Jeff Michelson does this in the water rights. Where is he at? There you are. Thank you. And so we report that, and it's around actually what is like 2.5 acre feet of water total or something like that.
Between two systems.
Not, no, on our, on that system, the system down here.
Down here?
Yeah.
A year, probably means.
And we have 80 acre feet in this system down here, right? And in the upper one, how much do we have? Yeah, that's all right. But basically, the point is that I want to make is you're required, as I said earlier, to proof up on water. We haven't proofed up on a lot of this water, but then you're also supposed to show use every 7 years of that water. And it's not that the state's going to come and take the water from you. What that means is the state could, if they ever want to take a magnifying glass and look at the watershed because of other larger state level water issues, they may say, hey, no more, you can't appropriate any more individual parcels or individual homesteads in the Puriya watershed, so you can't get your 1.73 acre feet. And secondly, also Deer Spring Ranch, when someone tries to, in our rules, we can segregate 0.45 acre feet of water from our water to an individual. It says that in our rights. But if we haven't proved up on that water and or we have shown non-use in a seven-year period, when somebody puts an application into the state to do that, the state's going to say, that's not being used. No, you can't do it. Now, why do I say it? Is there anything on the horizon that could threaten our water that kind of makes us pressing? I would say yes, there is. As everybody knows, the Colorado River Compact is being renegotiated. Well, actually, they failed renegotiation between all the states and the Colorado River Compact. And so now the Bureau of Reclamation is coming up with a water management plan for the Colorado River, which all of the states are going to have to abide by. The Puriya River drainage goes into what portion of the Colorado River? It drains into the lower Colorado River. So the Colorado River is divided at Lee's Ferry. Lee's Ferry, everything north of that is the upper Colorado River. Everything below that, South Colorado River, right? So who wants that water that's in the southern portion of the river? Who gets it? Arizona, Nevada, California. The only state in the entire Colorado River Compact that has used all of their water, and that's why we couldn't come to agreement this time, is California, because they're basically saying, hey, we're using our water. You guys all propose that everyone get a haircut so we can the flows or the uses realistically affect current flows, not what it was 100 years ago. And so, but California is going to want their water. Phoenix wants their water. Nevada, Las Vegas wants their water. And so our drainage goes into that. All right. So we need to do something to perfect or proof up on our water. And we need to do it every 7 years at least. So we raised the issue. We've had a lot of discussion about it. We really haven't made much progress moving forward on what the solution is to do that, which is what I think we really need to do. Right.
Can you proof up on your individual lot? I mean, is it a benefit for members to prove up and take that 0.45 if they can prove up on their individual lot, in your opinion, is it better for them to keep the 0.45 in the collective deer spring?
Well, I think the question, it's a tomato-tomato question. You can get water from us, and we can divert it. The state is going to come in and say, well, where are you going to get it from? And there's going to be some issues there because we've got a lot of points of diversion in different areas. And we've got some culinary water. We've got some underground water. We've got surface water. If you take surface water, which sometimes they'll let you do, turn it into a well water or underground water. But if they do that, you'll get a haircut on what the – so if we have an acre of water and you want 0.45 acre feet, you want 0.45 acre feet of well water, they may say, okay, you're going to have to deduct 0.8 acre feet from Deer Springs Ranch is, bank of water. So what I would recommend really is that individuals apply for that 1.73 acre feet that you can get from the state. You get more water, and you can do more with it. That's 1.73 acre feet is for a household. It's for irrigating, was it an acre or quarter acre of land, and you can have some head of cattle.
You can trade it back.
You can trade. What do you mean trade it back?
I moved up on 0.175. We got my own water right. 0.45 over there and added to that. Improved up on that water for me. Can I put any of it back into Deer Spring? Can it come back?
Well, you could sell your 1.73 acre feet. I'm not sure. We have the 0.45 acre feet. I'm not sure it's really clear on. Yep, Jeff, please.
In order to get the 0.45 acre feet from DSR Ways, you have to have a system on your lot.
Yeah, I know. But if you did that, then you take that water and then give it back to your.
So.
You probably wouldn't get it. If you went to the state, now 1.73, there's no need for DSR Ways to give you anything.
But, and also, there's another thing, there's another issue there, too. So here's the issue there, sorry. When you apply for a change in point of diversion from whatever point of diversion we have and you move it to your well, you have to proof it in that new point of diversion. And when you send it back to Deer Springs Ranch, if you ever relinquished it back or sold it back to us, we would now be in the same boat where we'd have to find a way to prove it in our current point in the points of diversion that the association uses. So what we really need to do is just find ways that Deer Springs Ranch can improve their water. Yeah.
If you as an individual lot owner go drill a well, you are required 5 years to prove to the state that you're using that water. If you drill it, you don't do anything. The well's sitting there, but you don't do anything. You don't build a cabin. You don't irrigate any ground. You don't have any livestock. They'll look at it and say, okay, you have to put this up. Thank you. It's back to them, and they'll never relinquish it unless you go through that process again. Apply. And then they'll go through and say, okay, what are you going to do? So an individual to prove up on their own water, it's a process. Now just imagine a ranch that has multiple water sources going through that same process. And we haven't had the manpower or the ability or the funds to go out and do this stuff, you know, we're at risk of losing some of those
water. Yeah, and we always talk about water, and we talk about the assets of the land. All right, I'm also on the county resource committee. I'm also on the county rec and trans special service district, and I sit across from Mike Noel in those meetings, and he is the executive director of the Kane County Water Conservancy District. It's a different watershed. He's talking about. And this, what he told me was water that they have up in Waterville and in Long Valley, an acre foot of water will sell right now for around $40,000 an acre. Why is that? Because that's Virgin River and it feeds into St. George, right? $40,000 an acre, 1 acre foot. The water here isn't that same value, but it's still pretty good, right? You know, it's valuable water. So if we have 800 acre feet of water that we're not using, right, multiply that by 10,000 or 15,000 on the low end, and that's now, but projected out into the future when the new Colorado River Compact is finalized and the state decides to give people haircuts in this area, if we haven't proved up so we can hold on to that water, then we basically have lost it. It's an asset. Yes. So in that's in Mesquite.
Yeah.
So Nevada has different water right rules in here.
Well, that's
why I'm asking. So no, you to lease it to the state. I mean. What you know? Well, so I'm sorry. If you have water that you are not using, right? But you've proofed it, but now you're no longer using it. You can lease it to somebody else. They would have to apply. And we've done this before with assets with water rights we've had over it in
CNAP, the new app, the person would do a, the person who you're leasing it to would apply for a change of point of diversion. You would sign off on it. The water would transfer over to them, and they would have to proof it up over there.
Okay, but we can't do anything like that to protect your spring water and make some money off of it?
Well, who, where?
I don't know. I don't know who's raising alfalfa. I don't know
who's... Well, no, that's, no, it's, I'm sorry. I say who, where flippantly, and I apologize about that. They kind of restrict. I can't take the water that I have here and send it over to CNAP. The water we have here can't go to CNAP. Basically, we can send it up into up to the east. What is it? Cannonville. Cannonville is in the same watershed as us. But they start looking at if you look at your sub basins and you're starting to shift stuff from one sub basin to another sub basin. They start looking askance at that, and they may say yes, they may say no. You look south of us. Well, if you look south of us, you've got Big Water, and you've got a couple other systems. They're a little bit to the east of us. They're not directly south of us, and there are developments there. You might be able to lease water to them, but to me, then you have to make sure you're ironclad in your contracts with them to make sure you get it back. But then we're still in the same boat where we're not using our water. It seems we should try to figure out ways to use the water here. That's my thoughts. If we can come up with a better idea, great. Jeff.
If we started to do that as an individual or as a collective, leasing our water rights to someone else, then we'd become a public water supplier. Would all be required to do the same thing we're doing for this little water system with 14 connections. You have to transport the water. You have to put in the pipeline to get it to wherever they want it. You cannot haul water to them. It just opens up a whole bunch of stuff that we don't want to do.
That's not true, but
I don't appreciate that, but we need to look at what's inside our boundary.
So, we can do inside. I mean, there may. I think there. That's. I don't think it's we should poo-poo it like that. I do. That could be an option. Now, the caveat or the only drawback in that is when you apply for a change of point of diversion outside of kind of where who owns it, they're going to come back and say, well, have you been using that water? Right? They're going to say, have you been using that water here within the past 7 years? Oh, no. So, no, we won't approve that change of point of diversion. So we really need to get, before we even start thinking about ideas like that, we got to get our own house in order with how we use our water here. And once we show use that 1 year, then we can do options like that. Say it's untenable to do that every year or every 7 years. You got to get it at least once, and then you can start, you know, leasing it out. But you got to do it. Yes.
One or two or three ways that we can do that.
Irrigate, no.
Cost efficiency,
well, I think if we can find some way to irrigate. So irrigation 1 acre of the duty is the amount of irrigate of water that's required to irrigate an acre of alfalfa. That's how they, whether you're growing alfalfa or not, that's what they say, right? So, for every acre of land you irrigate, you use 5 acre feet of water, right? And so, if we've got 800 acre feet, then you need around 120 acres we could irrigate somewhere in different areas, right? Now, you could do that now it's harder than it sounds because it's not just, I mean, diesel's expensive, right? And sometimes our surface water rights aren't flowing, right? So the water isn't there, so we can't even prove it up because it's not there or we didn't have a good year for flows, right? But for the well here, there's 80 acre feet. If we could somehow do some irrigation back here, flood irrigation in the meadow over here, that's some way you could protect those 80 acre feet. There are other fields we have up here. Could we do some retention ponds so when there is flow, you capture the water? And then you can release it through the old systems they had back, was it the Finleys back in the day? Dale.
There's only 2 feet from line that knows Deer Springs water system. And to hire somebody on Salt Lake to look at the records and tell us what our water is when it's already been used for 50 years and is known here. We pumped water and created the 80 acre feet. Larry and some of the kids moved the sprinkler systems. So it can be done again. You ask, how can it be done? Half Moon well and the 7 acres we irrigated up there gave us 28 acre feet of water. And the stop here was 20 acres, so there's 80 acres. There is a system, there's a way that we can recreate some of the ditches and ponds of the old irrigation system. There are ways today of pumping. I got a letter the other day from somebody that said it would be stupid to spend $5 diesel fuel to pump water that we don't need. I think we need every acre foot rock that we have. It's very, very expensive. It makes the ranch. We've got to do what we need to do to save these, and with some of us working together, we can meet the requirements of the state and go ahead. We have some private wells that are not part of this threat right now, and maybe a new one you may see the Jericho over on the other side, but we've got to save our water rights. Guess what? It's going to cost money. And we can't do that by a donation of $5 a month. So I think everybody, and that's what I tried to do in giving all of you this report that Bart's talking about, how critical our water is and how fragile it is. I have 4 or 5 more of these packets if somebody wants them. And I also have a bunch of maps if somebody wants to know where some of these things are. But we've got to raise the money and meet the state requirements for our water.
Thanks, Dale.
Dale, yeah, when you proved up on that originally, did you use gasoline pumps to pump?
Yes. Yes, we did.
We used only in Half Moon, though, right?
No.
This pump also?
You bet. We pumped here to qualify for that 80 acre feet on the old well. I had engineers here 2 weeks ago to reevaluate these 3 or 4. We have old wells that are not being used. And some wells that need to be used. And if not, we need to drill some new wells to save our money, to save our water.
Hold on.
This is a board.
Hold on. So on that note, Dale, thank you. We chatted or we emailed back and forth about those wells, and I'm waiting. I would like to see those well inspection reports that the engineers hopefully prepared on those inspections, because we do have some existing wells that are abandoned wells because they collapsed, because they filled with sediment, and it takes money to repair those. And it's not impossible. It just takes money to do it. And we don't want to throw good money after bad. We want to make sure we use our money wisely. Question.
I have a question you may be able to answer better. If you have a private well, I was under the understanding that once you are online and then you one up, they call it, then it's a guarantee for life.
What do you mean?
I've never heard one up.
What is that? I'm not.
Prove up.
Oh, no. So once you prove up, so I got this question. Yeah. So once you prove up on water, so or certificate, same it means the same thing. That water is there, right? And so we've certificated some of our water. But the problem is you also have to show use. And non-use, which is that 7-year period. If you have non-use, you could have certificated it, proven it up, great. You think you're sitting pretty, right? But then you have non-use for 7 years, and you have people around you who have, say, a junior water right to your senior water right, but you're not using your water, they could actually protest your new usage to the Division of Water Rights because you had non-use. And so that's kind of when they have a lot of, you know, fights about water. There's some senior water rights. They didn't use it. Someone comes in and says, hey, you can't start using that again. You're taking my water. Because somebody wasn't using water. They drilled a well. They started pumping. They were getting, you know, whatever Jeep gallons per minute they wanted. These people resumed, and suddenly the production rate dropped here. They're like, hey, you can't do that. I said, no, my right senior. Well, you weren't using it for 15 years. Then they go to the state, and the state says, yeah, you weren't using it because we go and look at the aerial, or you weren't living there. There's no proof. And
considered living there. I mean,
well, no, just usage, showing usage, yeah.
If I'm using it in the summer.
That's usage, right? So it's just using that.
On the property, that's usage.
Not necessarily. You have to actually show you. You have to use it. Right now, what we don't do, and what this is one of the questions when I was, you know, I chatted with the regional engineer in Cedar City, because in some large ranches and systems, you have to report all of your water right usage. We don't here at Deer Springs Ranch, and they see no reason why we should. Right? We don't have to do the annual reporting. And that's when you want to show, as an individual, to make sure you protect your water, you want to meter it, and you want to track that usage. So that can be something that if somebody ever comes to try to say, hey, you weren't using your water, it's like, no, I metered it. Here it is. Here's my contemporaneous, you know, documentation showing that I did. Does that answer your question?
Yeah, I mean, don't they have to give you something in writing that you can prove every 7 years or whatever? Because I know in Montana, I have a ranch in Montana, and every 20 we go through the
shame.
Federal process. Do fill out a form and say yes, 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 and then they verify it with aerials and all.
Sometimes they'll do that. Sometimes they don't. It's not as, you know, black and white here.
So you have to be proactive.
You need to be proactive. Yeah.
Can you prove up your hauled water?
What's that?
Hauled water.
So that hauled water is part from here. That's part of our public water system. And that's when we talked about we only used around 2.5 acre feet of water.
No.
Right? We have 80 acre feet of water that we should be using out of that well. We're using 2.5 acre feet. Right? And so I know a lot of people were saying this last year. It's like, yeah, they're worrying about people hauling water. No, haul water. We need you to haul water out of here. Please.
You can't use that water on your own lot.
No, that doesn't prove up your lot. That's only proof. Using that water here is just affects this system here. And that water, right, what is it, the 89? Which, is that 89? Yeah.
1896.
1496. Thank you. Yes.
I understand there has been a warning that we were supposed to have done all of these things on one of the water.
I'm getting to that.
Oh.
Yeah. So that's where we're talking the water rights here. Then I'll get to the water system in a second.
Okay.
Yes. No, it's not under the rug.
Remind everybody that the report is available on the members part of the website.
Yeah, so the report, the Logan Riley water consulting report is on the members webpage. Please read it. Did we put videos on there as well?
I did not put any video. Is there?
We have like a recorded hour long discussion between us and Logan Riley where we ask a lot of the questions.
Yeah.
Well, if it's not on there, we should make sure that it's on there.
What I'm saying, Bart, is if you'll give me that, I'll make sure.
Yeah, we'll get if it's not on there, we'll get it on there. And that's really good because we asked a lot of the questions we're asking here. We asked him, and that's what he does for the entire state of Utah. He used to work for the Division of Water Rights, so it's very useful. And again, it's third party. The reason why I thought it was important to do that third party kind of, he's unbiased in his approach or assessment of us. So any other questions on water rights before I move to the water system?
I just have one quick one.
Yes.
So.
Oh, sorry.
Sorry, I just went quick. So when you talk about the lower basin, the lower drainage, that's surface water and the water rights, not the actual underground. You said it's split into two from Lee's Ferry.
Oh, that's Colorado River.
Colorado River drainage basin. And are you talking California wants the surface water rights that drain out. Do the surface rights and the drilled rights, you know, drill a well, are they?
They're both impacted.
They're both, yeah, they're all kind of, they don't, they're not looking at that. They're, so for them, it's the flow. It's flow in the water or in the river. That's the flow. The drainages here go in there. Yeah. Our drainages are the water that ends up in the river's down gradient from us here is surface water runoff. It's groundwater that, joint that, you know, goes into the stream as it goes down gradient. So if our bedrock, like if you go over, some of these areas, the bedrock's actually tilted like this and our groundwater goes this way. Other areas, it goes down that way. So anyways, because our basin goes, the drainage, the surface water drainage goes in there, they'll look at it like that. So it's interesting. If you look at the Korea.
What is both surface and ground?
Yeah. So if you look at, say the Navajo aquifer. So if everybody here wants to, the best place to get water is you drill down to the Navajo aquifer, right? That's the best place to get water, right? That aquifer spreads from here all the way over to Hurricane, and it goes, they don't even know how far it goes north because it tilts down like this and goes farther down than they drill to look for water, right? But the way that we divide the basins is topographic. So groundwater, even though groundwater behaves differently than surface water, the way the division of water rights and the way we here in Utah, we look at water is we look at water as surface water. And so the 89 water rights, the 89 is the prefix for this drainage, for the Prairie River drainage, all that groundwater from the Navajo that you're getting, that's the same aquifer as we're getting over in the 85 prefix drainage in Kanab. But topographically, they're looking at it differently, even though underground is the same thing. So does that answer your question?
Yeah, I just wanted to make sure that it impacted both of them.
Yes,
They weren't calculated.
And that's why I said it doesn't necessarily make sense. That's just how we do it here in Utah.
Understand.
So, all right. Did you have a question?
Well, yeah, real quick, Bart. You mentioned encouraging people, Deer Springs people, to fill up. Is there a meter on this pump then?
I think we were looking at putting one there, but we haven't. Oh, yeah. Do we meter it?
There's not a meter on the water fill
system. No, but on the...
There's a meter on the pump.
There's a meter on the pump, yeah.
What goes into the system, we do not track what comes out of the J station.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So we don't know how much you're hauling.
But only haul what you're allowed to haul. I'm not telling you to haul more than what contractually you're allowed to haul. But really, most people aren't even using hauling that much. So, all right, next, the water system. Last year, we received a significant deficiency in one of our inspections. We were able to resolve all but one of those issues, and that was the insufficient pressure at the residential lots that are up here by the airfield. And it's insufficient pressure because we do gravity flow from our 40,000 gallon tank to everything here. Those up lots up there tie directly to it. And so there's not enough vertical drop to give them the pressure that we need. So one of the things we came on board was like, let's do the solution that I'm an engineer, just so you know. So I wanted to do what I thought was the good engineering solution. And that would be something that's lower risk regulatory wise going down path. Anyway, so we went down that path for a couple months. We used Sunrise Engineering. They did a couple analysis for us. It was going to be really expensive to do that. $80,000. We'd have to put a larger tank, further up the road by, what was it, lot 148 or 46 up there. And so that was just, and then it was going to be, we don't have Title V on that BLM road that goes back there. And so we wouldn't be able to actually do dig the trench in the road. We'd have to dig the trench through the 30 foot easement that's on everybody's property. And that was, you know, pretty gnarly terrain. It was going to be really difficult to do. So we said, all right, can we do a booster pump? put a booster pump at the 40,000 gallon tank. Problem with the booster pump, they're going to want primary, because it's a public water system, they want a primary and backup power for it. Solar doesn't cut it, right? You need to have, so we don't have Garcane, so we don't have three phase power anywhere on the ranch unless someone's doing it themselves. And so we would have to have a lot of generators up there. It's going to be noisy all the time. It was going to cost a lot of money. The operational cost was going to be very expensive. So you have a huge, cost to purchase these generators, backup generators. And then you have the houses, the structures that would have to go into that to meet all these requirements. Very difficult. And so that kind of took us all the way into the late summer, and we're getting down the deadline. And so, we're going to do the one that, as an engineer, and the engineers that we're working with said, well, we can't help you with that because if that's the way you go, there's too much risk. We're not going to be involved. You got to do it yourself because we won't stamp anything like that. So I was like, all right, I'll do that. So and that is the solution that we probably could have done. It's an inelegant solution. That's doing, granting a waiver for those lots. But you can't just get a waiver and they allow them to connect. We have to have a second tank that they have off the main line that comes down. You have a lateral that goes to each property line, and then wherever we determine, you have another 1,000, 1,500 gallon tank that we pump into. We've got an overflow drain that's below that, so you have proper backflow connection. Or you have prevention cross connect, you have proper cross connection controls, and then they would have a pump on their end, and that would pump into the system. So I've got that design. We've got that waiver letter ready to be submitted. We just need to make sure everybody here is fine with that. The only issue now is we're going to have four pumps that are owned by lot owners that we have to inspect. So we have to inspect their systems on their lot. Now, so that gives us more regulatory liability. We have four new backflow, double check valves that we're going to have in each one of those laterals, which exposes us to more liability as well. So now we're making our system more complicated. And that's just the way we have to go because we don't have enough money to do what I would consider as an engineer a more elegant solution. But, we're constrained by cost. We can't live up here in the clouds. We have to do what we can afford. And so that's what we're doing. So that's kind of the status of that. We did receive, and you may have seen it on the Deer Springs Rep website, because we didn't have our solution in place by August 1st, we received a notice of violation from the Division of Drinking Water because we didn't have that in place. So there was a requirement to post that for seven days. Is that correct?
Posted within 7 days for the entire DSROA entity, all the subdivision, all the lot, that period of time.
Yeah, so it's on. I know we put it on the Facebook page. Do we have it on the website as well?
Yes.
Okay.
I've got a hard copy here, and there'll be a copy posted.
Okay. Just so you know, that has nothing to do with water quality. So this notice of violation is purely a water pressure issue over there, right? It's not a water quality issue. Now, thanks, Jeff, for all the water operator. We've been doing a lot of water checks. You may have heard that we do get some BACT positives in our tests. That's standard. That happens all the time. You flush, you chlorinate, and then you retest again, and you pass. And it took a little bit of trial and error, but we did pass finally. Thank you. But what's that?
Three times.
Right? And some of that is, have any of you here dealt with water before? I'm going to wrap it up in a second. I know people are hungry. It's real. You could get a BACT hit because the threads, if you take the water sample from your faucet, you unscrew the threads in your faucet, and if you don't chlorinate those and if you don't disinfect those threads, that could give you a BACT hit. Or you can hold it up like this. And if you've got dogs running around in your house when you're taking, if you took the sample in your house and there's dust in the air, you get some of that dust in there, that could give you a, that's all it takes to get a back tee hit, right? So remember, back tee total back tee is just total coliform, is really just an indicator that says, hey, you need to go back and check. They want to make sure you don't have E. coli in the water. And we don't have E. coli in the water. And so it's, we're taking care of it. So anyways, that's that.
Okay.
Any questions?
No, we're not doing questions because we are starving. The sun's coming back out. We're going to get hot. So if you have questions, what's that?
Just one thing.
Can you wait until we're going to end here? And then you can talk to Bart.
No. This is totally different. This is just, I just want to let you know that I got a deal from Bai.
Okay.
He's actually sitting on a machine working out. He's doing well, and he figured on being back up in October or something, close to Canada. So Bai, but the one that got hurt on the motorcycle.
Awesome. No, that's okay. That was good news. Thank you.
All right, so that's it. I've been shut down.
You have. But if I know Bart, he'll be available for questions during...
I'm available for questions, yes.
Okay. And so, Scott, it's your turn to talk about the year in review.
Well, let's go eat.
Well, I get a turn.
I just want to thank all the board members. Even though I haven't been as active as they have, being the secretary, I have got to see the amount of work that they put in behind the scenes. I said that last month at the meeting, but I want to reiterate the hours that they put in that people aren't aware of, and I just appreciate that. Thank you.
Thank you, Scott. Okay, so it's my turn, and I don't have a lot to say. Like I said, you get to hear from me every month. We've done a few things differently this year. We reorganized the board, created job descriptions. We got Firefly up and running. So our reservation system has been resurrected. We created a transparent road plan, which worked out really well because, you know, John really needed to take some time and we still had a plan to follow. He was able to step away because we as a board had created that. We've developed a work order system that we're just getting off the ground, but this isn't about the accomplishment of any particular individual on the board. You guys vote for us to represent you. You pick who's going to sit up here to represent you. And let me tell you, we have some rock stars on this board, and I have been so honored and pleased by all the work they've put in. I know there's been a lot of grousing about our water rights, about our roads, about our this, about that. But if you knew what I knew about what these guys have been doing and working on behind the scenes, and yes, we are already partway to a plan on irrigating and using that irrigation water and those kinds of things. I just wanted to make sure everybody knows that these folks up here and Kurt, as long as he was on the board, have represented you well. They have thought about you. They have thought about your desires. They have thought about what you needed. And that's how they have voted in every single vote that I've been witness to. And I've been witness to every vote of this board. So, thank you all. I hope you remember this when you vote next year. Vote for these people next year. Thank you. And so it's not the end of the meeting. We're taking a break for lunch, entertainment, auction. So let's get to that meet before the Yeller Jackets do. Thank you.
Right.
Mark.